640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Civic Media's special event coverage of the U.S. House Select Committee on January 6th public hearing for Monday, December 19th.
Goes Wisconsin, and now we are going to cut live to the live broadcast of the final January 6th hearing. And stay tuned. We'll be back during the breaks and after the hearing is closed.
Right now, they're gathering. They're waiting. They're waiting in the waiting room. People are getting witnesses are being put up on the stand, and they're having a couple people gather in. They're waiting for them to walk right into the session. Usually, they jump in here. You hear the doors open, and then all of a sudden, gavel, and then next thing you know, Benny Thompson's going to start speaking.
Yeah, so we're just waiting. I think it is 12 p.m. on the dot, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Looks like a packed house. Per usual, and no Christmas decorations, I've noticed. Missed opportunity there. But what do you think is going to happen today, Brian? Brian Kelly, everybody.
Well, this is the conclusion of everything. So at the very least, they're going to summarize everything they've done so far. They're also going to say, hey, look, last time we left it as we're giving them, you know, we gave Donald Trump an opportunity to come forth and talk to us out loud and see it in public, and we all talk about it. And they gave him ample opportunity, and they're going to say, now we've given you ample opportunity, and that's it. Here you go.
And, yeah, and we basically will say, you think they'll just, like, review everything that they've done in the last 10 hearings and just give a refresh to everybody as
yes,
far as what's been found, what revelations? I mean, because the thing is, like, where they started at the first hearing and where we're ending, the amount of more, like, so many more people came forward. So information that they didn't even have when they started the first hearing because of people who, I think, whether it was their conscience or, you know, for whatever reason along the way decided to testify. And so I think where it started and where it ended is a lot more information than maybe they even thought they were going to get.
Yeah, well, don't forget how awesome it would be if the Wisconsin connection gets brought up, because Robin Voss was also interviewed within the last week or so, just with his conversation with Donald Trump, seeing how much pressure he was under, because he had to come out and declare, you can't do it, which actually caught him some guff. His own investigative body and his own party. His own party turned on him. That's what happens when you create Frankenstein's monster. They come back out and come back at you if you decide to disagree with him at some point, because he said you can't actually decertify the election. So, but at the same time, he also opened up the Gableman investigation. So congratulations for that. Either way, he was interviewed by this committee, and a couple other people were interviewed, and I'm interested to see if they have any more revelations or if they held anything back last time, saying, you know, I felt like the tone of the last hearing was, okay, we've got a bunch of stuff on you. Do you want to come forward and talk to us? Here's your chance.
Yeah.
And now I think they're going to, what if they have anything to reveal, they better do it now.
Because wasn't there also a Dane County judge who was subpoenaed?
I believe so. That sounds right. I can't speak to the veracity of that.
But. Yeah, I feel like that was one of those headlines where I feel like I saw the headline, never read the actual article or really wrapped my head around what the consequence of it was. But I think that there was more, as you just said, Robin Voss was subpoenaed. Obviously, we know that Ron Johnson and the fake electors, but are there other Wisconsin connections in this, whether it was the insurrection itself or the hearings, mm-hmm. and who's been talking and who's been subpoenaed and what information was gathered from them. I don't know if we'll hear it today, but
Anytime you hear the name Jim Troupis, think Ron Johnson, because Jim Troupis was he's the lawyer that wanted to give. He's been in and out of this whole situation in of itself, but he was the lawyer who one advised that they could possibly put forth fake electors. But he was also the lawyer who tried to hand Ron Johnson or Ron Johnson's staff members a manila envelope with all the fake electors from Michigan, as well as Wisconsin, and I believe one other, I'm not sure, possibly Pennsylvania, to go to the vice president. And Ron Johnson, that's the infamous Ron Johnson. I was only involved for just a couple seconds. It was just me pressing the thing just for a couple seconds. It's fine. When he basically said, here you go. And the vice president said he didn't want it. So those were the fake electors. So Jim Troupis was the one who was like, here you go. Here's the envelope to give to them. And then they said we didn't want it. And so Ron Johnson thinks that's the end of the story. Well, later on after that, after that incident, after being asked about it and after being questioned about it, Ron Johnson said, you know, it'd be a great PR move. I'm going to hire Jim Troupis on my campaign and pay him $20,000. And what was he on there on the campaign for? To advise him on a recount. To advise him on whether...
If there were to be one.
If there were to be one, to advise him on what would happen if he didn't like the results of the election, basically.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah. $20,000 for like basically less than a month of work, maybe a work month and a half. I mean, it's no Claude Lois and Foxconn. That's an entirely different thing. But my point is wow, you can get a Jim Troupis is a nice Wisconsin connection that we're looking for today, possibly to be brought up. I don't know. There's a whole bunch of people. There's Janelle Branchon could be there. Who knows?
I asked this question of Jane before the break, but would you buy the published 8-chapter? All of the findings and read it once it comes out?
No.
No.
Mostly
because I don't have the time. I need the Axios version of this to like sum up and bullet point the entire thing.
Well, you got to understand, like me, they're about to walk into the chamber, so we're gonna cut away here. But for me, it's not that because I read so much news, I'm used to skimming so much. Like back in the day, I slogged through the Silmarillion with J.R.R. Tolkien's Silmarillion just to get through it and stuff. I don't think I could do that right now because I'm so my brain is so trained to skim through things and read them. Let's say while I'm on the air and like I'm doing right now as the committee comes in. Once you hear the gavel call to order, we're gonna go and let Betty Thompson take over.
Absolutely. And so, yep, we're seeing everyone come in, sit down, and. How many people? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's like 10 people. But yeah, they're all getting settled in, and we're going to cut away to the live broadcast, and we'll be here during any breaks and once it is all over.
You're listening to coverage on civicmedia.us.
The Select Committee to investigate the January 6th attack on the United States Capitol will be in order. Without objection, the chair is authorized to declare the committee in recess at any point. Pursuant to House Deposition Authority Regulation 10, the chair announces the committee's approval to release the deposition material presented during today's meeting, and further its approval to release deposition material that accompanies release of the Select Committee's final report. Good afternoon. And may God bless the United States of America. To cast a vote in the United States is an act of faith and hope. When we drop that ballot in the ballot box, we expect the people named on the ballot are going to uphold their end of the deal. The winner swears an oath and upholds it. Those who come up short ultimately accept the results and abide by the rule of law. That faith in our system is the foundation of American democracy. If the faith is broken, so is our democracy. Donald Trump broke that faith. He lost the 2020 election and knew it. But he chose to try to stay in office through a multi-part scheme to overturn the results and block the transfer of power. In the end, he summoned a mob to Washington, and knowingly they were armed and angry, pointed them to the Capitol and told them to fight like hell. There's no doubt about this. This afternoon, my colleagues will present our key findings, reminding you of some of the information we presented in earlier hearings and telling you how it fits in our broader conclusions. Those conclusions have helped shape the committee's final report, which we'll adopt today pursuant to House Resolution 503, which establishes the Select Committee nearly a year and a half ago. I expect our final work will be filed with the clerk of the House and made public later this week. Beyond that release, the Select Committee intends to make public the bulk of its non-sensitive records before the end of the year. These transcripts and documents will allow the American people to see for themselves the body of evidence we've gathered and continue to explore the information that has led us to our conclusions. This committee is nearing the end of its work. But as the country, we remain in strange and uncharted waters. We've never had a president of the United States stir up a violent attempt to block the transfer of power. I believe nearly 2 years later, this is still a time of reflection and reckoning. If we are to survive as a nation of laws and democracy, this can never happen again. How do we stop it? This committee will lay out a number of recommendations in its final report. But beyond any specific details and recommendations we present, there's one factor I believe is most important in preventing another January 6th, accountability. So today, beyond our findings, we will also show that evidence we've gathered points to further action beyond the power of this committee or the Congress to help ensure accountability under law. Accountability that can only be found in the criminal justice system. We have every confidence that the work of this committee will help provide a roadmap to justice and that the agencies and institutions responsible for ensuring justice under the law will use the information we've provided to aid in their work. And for those of you who have followed this committee's work, I hope we've helped make clear that there's a broader kind of accountability. Accountability to all of you, the American people. The future of our democracy rests in your hands. It's up to the people of this country to decide who deserves the public trust, who will put fidelity to the Constitution and democracy above all else, who will abide by the rule of law, no matter the outcome. I'm grateful to the millions of you who followed this committee's work. I hope we lived up to our commitment to present the facts and let the facts speak for themselves. Let me say in closing, the women and men seated around me on this dais are public servants in the most genuine sense. They put aside politics and partisanship to ensure the success of this committee in providing answers to the American people. I especially want to thank